So, welcome everybody. I don't know how much of an overview you've already had of Auroville, but you're presently standing in the residential zone in Sector 2, which is kind of two of five sectors, which slowly get more dense as you go up towards number 5. And Luminosity was started about, we conceived it maybe sort of 3.5-4 years ago, as an extension of the Creativity Project, which is just over here behind the tree. There was actually a large master plan done for the whole area. So we simply sort of took one of the buildings that was part of that master plan and said, okay, we'll focus on that one. In the couple of years before we started to look at this, we'd actually been, a group of us had been working together as a group called the Dreamcatchers, and we were kind of coming up with lots of different ideas as to what it might mean to live in Auroville, in a place which is trying to be this model for humanity, and what it means to live a yogic lifestyle in this Auroville environment. And I would say that one of the key elements that came out of that series of sessions was we wanted to develop what we were calling a temple for living in. This is kind of a little bit of a play on Corbusier's idea of a machine for living in, which didn't sound particularly appealing to us, so we thought, okay, in an Auroville context, what would a temple for living in feel like? So a number of the different sort of parameters that we were looking to integrate into this development was firstly to raise the living off the ground, because one of the things that you will find if you walk around in Auroville is that there are often, within the communities themselves are fenced, but within the communities, if you have individual houses and things like this, people often develop private gardens and things like this. So it's very hard to kind of know where you can walk, where you can't walk, and so forth. So we really wanted to try and create an area which is very open, where people could walk wherever they felt like. So to that end, we actually created offices on the ground floor, and the residential is above. And obviously the reason behind that is, if I'm sitting working at my desk and somebody walks past my window, I'm not too bothered. But if I'm in the bathroom, it's a little bit more disturbing. And a lot of communities in Auroville have developed various communal spaces, whether it's communal kitchens, dining areas, laundry spaces and things like this. But they're often on the ground floor. So what we wanted, since we were building a ground plus two structure, we decided we'd use the roof space for the communal areas. So you'll be able to, when we go up there, you'll be able to see kind of what we did there and how we're proposing to use this roof area where you get the great views, you get the light, you get the breeze and things like that. Basically, the whole building is oriented east-west. So this means that most of the time, most of the year, when the sun's rising over here and setting over here, we're not getting very much direct sun on the windows on the inside. So we've got a lot of solar cooling capacity within the building. And also we're getting most of the breeze from the southeast in the summer months. So the building is generally oriented to the breeze, and we've done it to keep the sun out as much as possible. From a landscaping point of view, we also wanted to sort of try and minimize our footprint from the point of view of what we need to look after from a sort of gardening point of view. So the actual, what you see, these kind of sort of Zen gardens, in inverted commas, at the front here, that's kind of like the outline of the building. And where you're actually standing, which is still kind of very rough, because we only finished the structure a few months, like the beginning of the year, so it's trying to grow after the summer months, and hopefully in the monsoon we'll get a lot more sort of wild grass and stuff growing here. So it's really the idea that you walk through a bit more of a wild area to come to the building itself. We're also looking very much from a sort of recycling of water perspective. What you see behind you here, there's a kind of a sunken area over there with flowers in it. That's part of our grey water treatment system. So all the wastewater from the building flows down the back of the building, goes along the pipes, goes into a baffle reactor, which is buried, you anyway can't see it. And after the liquid that comes out of that goes through this microfile pond. So once it's come through there, the water's effectively clean, and then it flows here into this pond, where it gets a lot of sunlight and there's fish in there and so forth. And the overflow of that goes into this round water tank down here, which then gets pumped up onto the roof, and we use that water for flushing toilets and for watering all the plants. So that takes that quantity of water out of the equation. I'll now walk you to the far end here and go around the end of the building, because on the back side I'll show you our rainwater catchment. With that, we're hoping to actually store about 300,000 to 350,000 litres of water, which with a 1.2 metre monsoon would give us about 100 litres per person in the building throughout the year. So we're hoping with a combination of the reuse of the rainwater and the reuse of the grey water that we actually don't need to take in any extra water on top of that. And that's actually calculated, 1.2 metres is a normal monsoon, and we've actually taken 1 metre, so as a very low level to sort of figure out our calculations. Blue metal chips, but a year ago it was at kind of this, the pit goes to the far end of the building, so that's, imagine how large that is, and it's 700 cubic meters. So we took out 700 cubic meters of earth, and that earth went to the various places in Oroville to help build rammed earth walls, compressed earth blocks, do some buns, whatever was necessary. We then lined the whole pit with this black plastic HDPE, and we started to fill it with sand. But then this local sand mafia got in the way, and we kind of had a lot of difficulties in actually filling it. So it was standing here with a kind of this much at this end and that much at that end and a big empty pit for the last 12 months. So it's only recently that the prices have come back down a bit. Sand is still high, but the blue metal prices came down. So then we decided, okay, we'll go with this sort of baby jelly, the blue metal. Actually holds a little bit by volume of water than the sand did. But because of the granite chips, we needed to protect the high-density polyethylene. So we've taken the geotextile, and we invested another 40,000 rupees in that. So that's on the sides there. So that's actually to protect plastic from the blue metal. So the idea is, you see these pipes here, that's coming from the roof. So the rainwater will flow in from, obviously, directly onto it, but also from the roof here. So this blue metal will just be underneath those pipes. And then we'll actually, well, maybe about 10 centi, and then we'll have the geotextile will be folded on the top, and then we'll have about 10 centimetres of sand on the top, and it will look exactly like the garden on the other side when it's finished. And here in the centre, these rings that you see, we'll be adding these ones on top, and in there will be, it's effectively a well in the middle of a surface level aquifer. So we've dropped two, we're having two pumps in the bottom, one in case there's a heavy rain and we pump it out, but in principle the normal pump pumps it into another tank on the roof, and then, as I explained, that gets then just used by gravity within the apartment. So we're hoping somewhere between 300 and 350,000 litres capacity inside here. Any questions?
What is the depth?
4 metres. And there's about a foot of sand below the blue metal.
350,000
litres. 300 to 350,000, depending on. But it's almost, it stores half its volume. So from the 700 cubic metres, that's why I say it's about 350,000 litres if it's exactly half, but then the sand holds a bit less, and so it will be about.
Is this going to be open?
No, it'll completely get covered. It'll look like the garden on the
like
other side.
Behind.
You actually won't, when this is finished, you won't have any idea it's there.
Yeah.
What's happening? The rain water is coming in.
This roof water
is coming in. Filled with sand and gravel.
Yeah.
Right? So this will act as a filter?
Yes.
And it's recharging subsoil water, is it?
No, it's being held in here. We could just recharge the main aquifer. But actually, by building this, we're creating a volume of water for us to use.
You've lined it even at the
completely, yes. It's like a swimming pool.
Where is that water from?
So why don't you just have a tank? Why do you need the filtration?
You don't need the filtration. It's a benefit of having the sand and the blue metal anyway. And we're gonna under that blue plastic is a carbon filter. So we're also any dust either from the sand or from the granite will be pumped through the carbon filter onto the roof. So we're already taking away any sediment from the water. And then we have a reverse osmosis water filter on the roof. So theoretically, we can also drink the water after going through
potable. It's a potable water.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. So it's a two-stage filtration and then RO.
Yeah.
Okay.
How does the funding model work?
It's all private. The residents who've chosen to live here are funding it. That was part of, I mean, within the different housing schemes in Oroville, anybody who's looking for somewhere to live looks at sort of the different housing schemes and sees what they're offering. And because we clearly defined these kind of the rainwater catchment, the reuse of the grey water and things like this from the very beginning, we kind of attracted people who were interested.
How often do you have to maintain this?
Well, actually, once it's finished, it will be almost unmaintainable. So that's part of the experiment. We have to see how long it lasts.
But you have to keep on using it.
Definitely. And one of the ideas that we have is actually, I don't know if you've seen any of these vortex systems in Oroville already.
Yeah.
Because we had the idea of installing a vortex in that so that actually in the course of the year, the water is always circulating and is also seeing the light and then going back down again. So it's not just some deep, dark pool for months and months and months. There'll be a certain amount of circulation going on.
So you're going to add that? You want to add that?
Yes. When it's finished, you'll get that garden again and there may well be this vortex sort of standing in the middle as a feature.
Circulation.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So, just one more question. If you put the vortex, then it's continually circulating the water which is in this
correct.
State, right?
Correct.
So will the filtration work fast enough for that circulation to happen continuously?
It's not a huge quantity of water. It's for running the vortex, it'll be fine. And as the water level drops and the volume in the well decreases, we have there's a float in the tank. So as the level drops in the tank, it just keeps topping it up. It's not suddenly trying to pump a huge volume up onto the roof. We're just talking.
So the vortex is going on and actually pumping it.
Also.
Oh, okay.
Also, yes.
So the vortex is just basically this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the development of the project, as I explained downstairs, we already decided we wanted to make the roof communal space. So, also the idea was to sort of go with fairly minimal sizes in the apartments, also to encourage people to come and use the roof. As you can see, we have a garden at each end of the building, outside, external, and we've covered the two central bays with this metal roof. So obviously the metal roof gives you a covered space to use in the middle of the summer, the monsoon, etc. But somebody was asking earlier about energy. Ultimately the idea is that anybody who wants it can put solar panels on this roof. The structure is there to take the weight of the solar panels and anybody maintaining them. And these pipes are there to actually take the cables in. And just at the top of the staircases here you see this section of white cupboards. Every apartment has one double cupboard, and at the moment those are being used for UPS, batteries, things like this, but obviously in the future if people want the solar panels, then the inverters and stuff can go in there too, because they have to be as close to the solar panels as possible. But those cupboards, the pipes go down and connected to all the offices and all the apartments. So anybody who wants that in the future, the infrastructure is there to take it. At the moment, with the solar panels, the price is quite high. There's a lot of talk of these thin-film solar panels and things like this. If that really comes on the market and the price is much lower, then we can just basically tile the whole of this roof with solar whenever that emerges. We kind of had an idea that we'd sort of have a quiet end of the roof and a more social end of the roof. That's still exploring that one. We've got the laundry area here. Also, a lot of the communal facilities, like, for instance, the washing machines, the water filter, the effective microorganisms, which we have here in the barrels, that's what we add to the toilets and to the sinks to help the greywater system. So all of that thing, all of those are on the roof. So people have reasons to come up here and interact and meet each other. And there's a dining area where the laundry area is on the other side. That's like a communal dining space with a small sort of kitchen area, develop over time as well. You're actually sitting on one of the two water tanks. So there's the rainwater tank and the grey water tank. And we purposely made it with this raised area in the centre, so also it can be somewhere where people can sit and meet around and whatever. There's also electrical points, so people can sit there with a laptop and watch the sunset or whatever. There's, again, from an alternative technology point of view, there's also the idea that we have, in the dining area, we're going to have two bicycles frame, which you can actually charge your battery from. Yeah, they actually have it running in Savannah Forest at the moment, so it does work. But that's still being built. Unfortunately, you can't see it.
You exercise
while you generate. Energy. We've also, as much as possible, we've done all the lighting fixtures in the apartments with LEDs. So the actual amount of energy you need, just on a very basic level for your apartments, is actually quite low. Kind of low water.
Can we see the gardens? Are gardens on the side?
The gardens on each side. This one is slightly more appealing at the moment. The other one is being dug up to try and get rid of some weeds. So this one is. So you're welcome. You're welcome to have a look around.
How high is the basement?
It's about. Well, this half of the garden is about 12 centimeters deep, and as it drops over the mid beam, get about 35 centimeters. We have two or three concrete bins which give the larger bushes and shrubs that gives them more depth. So we've specifically chosen places to bring the depth higher. But generally it's a very shallow soil cover. And then underneath we have these tiles as a waterproofing on the roof. Then we have a spacer mat about 1 centimeter, 1.5 centimeter thick.
Which mat?
It's a plastic spacer mat which you just clip together. And on top of that is the same geotextile which you see down here, this white block. So that sits on top of it. So what that means is the water, when you get the rain right now, it goes through, but instead of getting waterlogged, the water can actually circulate through the geotextile. And then in that 1.5 centimeter gap, it comes across the tile and just goes down to the drain.
And you put something special also for the water not to go all the way down. To the roof?
No, this is the waterproofing. What you're standing on is the waterproofing underneath there.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't made special or anything?
No, more so than any other. Yeah. This roof has to be just as waterproof as that one. So it's the same treatment, and then these sheets just sit on the top. They're not connected. And the geotextile stops the roots of the grass and the bushes from growing in and eating and growing into the gaps of the tiles.
The geotextile methods.
I can explain that a little bit more when we go down to the apartment. What you're sitting on here, by the way, we also have a system, a dehumidification system, which has also been developed in London. The machines actually sit underneath those cupboards just there. And the idea is, rather than just have a standard air conditioning system, which uses an awful lot of power and which in many cases chills the air less than you really need. But this particular climate, this dehumidification, was seen to be a good alternative where by just taking out the humidity rather than chilling it as well, it actually makes the environment quite comfortable to be in. From an architectural point of view, it's also very interesting because usually if you, with an air conditioner, if you can use the more you reduce the temperature, make a temperature difference, you actually need to have fairly small windows because you get a lot of heat gain from the windows. So the beauty of that architecturally is in this building, you were able to just have very large opening windows in different apartments because there's no temperature difference. It's actually exactly the same temperature, you're just reducing the humidity.
Does the humidity equalize with the open windows?
No, the windows, if you put the dehumidification on, the windows are closed,
okay,
but you can have larger windows than you would if you would. I mean, you can have large windows with air conditioning too, but you've got a higher energy bill if you do that.
The radiant temperature inside the room goes up.
Yes. And there's also a heat exchanger within the machine, so actually it's using the. Because you're chilling the air like in an air conditioner just to take the humidity out, but the heat exchanger brings the air temperature back up again, so it uses a lot less power than an air conditioning system. Apartments are the same size, but just on the within the window line, it's about 48 square meters. There are three basic designs. I'll show you that there's two like this, and I'll show you the other one on the other side of the staircase. We came up with kind of basic models, three types, and then people could choose whatever they wanted on top of extra for that. So for instance, the platforms are an extra. So the basic model of this apartment, the black caliper would simply run to the wall and people would furnish it normally with tables, chairs, whatever they want, beds, whatever they wanted. But in my case, this is my apartment, and in my case I wanted to have just the platform and sort of very minimal, and I'm kind of not so keen on furniture. I like my old chair here, but I wanted to try and keep it to a minimum. You can please feel free to just walk around the back there. That's kind of like the sort of toilet, bathroom, storage, kitchen. So everything is in that one little block, sort of freestanding in the middle of the space there. The only thing it still needs is a curtain on the bottom part of the kitchen. It's getting a little bit messy down there.
So what you sure need?
So, I was just mentioning to somebody about the structure. It's a concrete frame structure, 7.2 meters span, which gives the opportunity to have this very sort of very large sliding windows. Here, I've kept the. Please go out if you want to have a look. I just kept it closed because of all the work going on out there. There's a tub on the balcony underneath the plywood over there. And all of the glass that you see can slide into a third of its area. So for instance here, all of it can go in line with that and I can have it fully open on both sides. So in the summer months I get a pretty nice hotel east here. As you can see, I only have one standing fan. Don't need fans normally. The only reason I need this fan is actually because the ventilation is too good, and in the cashew spraying season, in the poisonous spray, I have to close the windows, and at certain times of the year I get the burning garbage from Pondicherry and I have to close the glass too. But if it wouldn't be for those two things, I would not need that fan at any time of the year.
And you don't need any of the mosquitoes to come
in? There's six glass and two mesh.
So
I can actually have a mesh on each corner, or two on each side, so I can also have the mesh at night.
Yeah, so you can keep it open and leave it
there. Somebody was also asking about the louvers. The louvers are actually designed primarily against the monsoon, because the monsoon is coming mostly from the northeast in this area. So the problem I have to face in that way, but they can actually orient all the way around, so I can block most of the rain, and if there's a cyclone or a strong storm, I can close them completely. So that gives a lot more protection on that side. They're also useful in the summer months because the sound of the topic of cancer, the sun actually in the summer months is coming a little bit from the north side, so I can even close them in the summer months and it stops the overheating of the caliper from that side. So they're also quite useful there. From a soundproofing point of view, the
concrete structure, we actually have an inverted beam. So as you see, you don't see any beams here. So it's all inverted beams. So what you're standing on is actually a 12 centimeter concrete slab, and then it's about 25 centimeters of compressed burnt rice husk. And then there's the normal flooring and the gallop on top of that. So you actually almost have a 50 centimeter thick floor between each apartment. So it's much extra, much better soundproofing. Not just from the roof to me, but also from me to my neighbour in that direction. And the walls are also about 50 centimetres, the columns are about 50 centimetres thick, running in this direction. So we actually have two brick walls with a cavity in the middle. So that cavity is used for the dehumidification, which comes out just at your feet from the slab, from this, what I'm standing on. There's an opening there, so it comes out there and it runs back out on this side. And then it goes back up onto the roof and it goes through that machine. And some of the apartments have chimneys. So the chimney pipes go through there, and also all our water pipes. That's why you don't see them.